Surprised! You probably thought there were 17 more seconds left, but I came early. So, just realised what I said. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
Welcome to The Jerick Show, featuring your hosts, Javad Malik and Eric Krohn. Timely topics, poorly presented.
I guess it's going to be one of those shows today. Anyway, I hope you're all doing good on this fine Friday and that completely lost my train of thought. Anyway, Eric, how you doing?
I thought you had more skill than that, man. I thought you were, as much as we like bash each other and we have to watch what we say, I figured the training was good. It's like constant training. And yet, there you go, tripping over your feet. I tell you. It is good to be here, though, on a Friday.
It is. It is. Given that last Friday we were together in sunny Clearwater.
Yep. And kind of missed those days. Back in the day.
Back in the day when you had me driving your tractor. Digging holes. Oh,
come on
in the ground.
That was fun. That was fun. You have to admit.
That was a lot of fun. Yeah. I got to say, this is like, you know, as a kid, you just had these toys of things that used to go around pretending, and now you're older and, you know, you have the means to buy them yourself, and it's like my first farm.
Yeah. In all fairness, it's not a toy. I mean, like, I don't know what we would have done out there without the tractor as far as getting stuff taken care of. And I mean, holy crap, that thing is a lifesaver. And I understand why all farmers seem to have tractors, man, because whew. You'll be happy to know that I did mow out there. So the knee-high grass and weeds and bushes are pretty much gone. But
good.
Yeah.
I was wondering, don't you have like a mowing equivalent of a Roomba or something that you can just set out and it'll go and along a set path and just chop it down for you?
You know, they have those these days, but I just can't imagine like actually using one of those. I don't know. It seems kind of, whirling blades of death, man. James. Now I will say this, the one that I have has no firmware. It's a straight diesel. It is new, but it doesn't have all of that GPS garbage and stuff on it. And it's so easy to drive. Even Javad could do it. Oh God.
What's that?
Did you see that? Oh. A lawn mower. Why do we let him comment anymore? Should we just block him?
Can we just perma-block him? That'll be a good thing.
Gosh, a lawn mower. That's terrible.
Are you also trying to indicate that you've trimmed your beard as well?
No, it's kind of weird. Like every once in a while I'll look and it's all like stuffed to one side or something. And I don't know what the heck's going on with it.
Oh dear. No one wants to hear about middle-aged man talking about his beard problems. So AI set to play key role in future phishing attacks. This is a staggering increase in QR code phishing.
You mean quishing?
Where do you stand on that word?
I hate it. It's quishing. That's a wrong word, man. We got to get more creative because we have, of course, it all started with phishing with a PH, and then we have vishing, which is the voice stuff, and then we have smishing, which is SMS fish. I mean, come on, let's be more creative than quishing. Ew. I don't think I like that one, man.
QR code phishing. I'm with that. It's QR code phishing. I think we don't need to introduce more terms for the sake of it, especially when they sound like that.
You know, it's so the reason I kind of picked this is there's so much hype around AI these days that I think it's interesting. It's so much of this difference of this AI stuff. Like if you scroll down AI and deep fakes and whatnot, you know, we're seeing this all the time with the deep fake stuff and this deep fake here and there. And yet most of the time it's not really something that we can point our finger at it actually being a deep fake. There have been a couple of instances, but it's always kind of like expanded upon. Like, do you remember that one of the stories that they had where the guy got on the Zoom call and everybody was a deep fake but him, and he wired out $250 million, right? We've heard that one. But the backstory to that is it was actually a scripted Zoom. So essentially this person got on and didn't converse with anyone else, all right? It was all scripted. Yeah, it may have been deep fake made, but it was all scripted. And what they did is very quickly, they abruptly ended the meeting and followed up with an email that said, hey, you probably heard on the meeting, we need to buy this thing or do whatever, and please wire out the $250 million. And that's what happened. So it's not like it was real-time discussions with people. This is a person that was in the background of the meeting. It was used to make it seem plausible and then followed up with the email, which I thought was rather interesting. But yeah, it's not like they put it out there a lot in the media, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I also like this part about the initial attack comes in on email, and then like Microsoft Teams and Slack account for 50% of second steps. So again, this is something people need to be aware of. It's not just the single stage attacks are still there, but multi-channel, multi-stage attacks are definitely on the increase. And the more different tools we use, the more difficult it becomes to protect against it. And hello, Randy. Nice to see you.
Yeah. All right, Randy. Yeah. You know what? And I don't know, this pivoting to other platforms, it's not necessarily new, but we're seeing it a lot more. And I think a lot of the reason is we don't always monitor those other platforms very well. And end-to-end encryption could cause problems with it. Like popping over to WhatsApp, and a lot of times they'll use the, like, I don't know if you had them over there, but we had some commercials here that were like, WhatsApp, it's end-to-end encrypted. And it was all about the security of using WhatsApp. So now the bad actors are like, hey, let's go over to a secure means like WhatsApp, and we'll chat about it over there. Well, that loses a lot of the monitoring stuff and some of the more common situations. So they're getting clever, and they'll be like, oh yeah, it's more secure because, you know, you may have seen the commercial. Like they're playing on that to get people to do that. But it seems to be pretty effective.
It is indeed. And I like this section in this article about millennials are top targets for phishing attacks. That's not surprising. If you've ever seen a millennial, they're probably like working from home in their pajamas, having like their McDonald's and two helpings of dessert, an apple pie, and in between on their phone trying to like answer stuff and what have you. So, surprise, they're distracted.
Stereotype much?
As if you haven't stereotyped me enough in the last week when I was there.
Never.
And that's all I'm going to say on the topic. Okay, eScan antivirus update mechanism exploited, I say.
Yeah,
to spread backdoors and miners.
Boy, that antivirus that spreads viruses. The irony there is pretty interesting. But this comes back to another one of those supply chain type attacks.
Yep. It's also like, you know, security tools like antivirus, they run at the high privileges. So you know, if you can get in there somehow, you're going to have, you know, access to pretty much everything.
Yeah, they're just hanging out there at Ring Zero like, hey, I got access to everything, because you kind of want it to be there to be able to stop all this stuff. But in the same breath, a lot of times we don't think about something like antivirus actually being one of our attack vectors. So it's interesting with this one. Talking about this Gupta miner and stuff, hosting their own DNS servers. And that's smart because then they can move stuff around as the infrastructure changes. Like this is what this was doing, is pushing a miner, which isn't uncommon, you know. I just thought it was interesting using antivirus as the way to spread the viruses, made me chuckle a little on the inside.
It does, but I don't know. I use a Mac, so I've never needed to use an antivirus for years because
please do not spread that garbage, man. Come on. People still think Macs are like, oh, I got a Mac, so it's not at all subject to viruses, which is an absolute and complete load of crap.
Change my mind. Okay, 73% off small and medium enterprise security pros missed or ignored critical alerts. So this is a story. I mean, this is not just restricted to SMEs. I know like many people in large enterprises who work in the SOC, and it's the same story. They are overwhelmed.
Yeah.
Overwhelmed.
Yeah. I've only got 27 panes of glass to look at and, you know, 70 alerts a second rolling in. What's the problem here, folks? You know, and I hate to see this because then it goes back. And I mean, look at what happened with Target, right? After the fact, they come back and they're like, oh, well, there was an alert there and we just missed it, which kind of makes you look bad. But the overwhelming amount of crap that flows in sometimes in some of these areas, it's very tough to limit that. Now, you once worked for a SIM or SIEM place. And so I'm sure you are familiar with some of this alert fatigue.
It was more than a SIM. It was a way of life. It was a unified security management. Sorry, you can take the person out of the vendor. You can't take the vendor out of the PR person.
Yeah. So that was a fun group, though. I remember seeing on at least one occasion margaritas in the booth.
So that was like they were only allowed to do slushies, but someone was able to smuggle in a bottle of whatever alcohol, and they were like topping them up.
Imagine that
for everyone. Speaking of topping up alcohol, that's something you may struggle to do if you are in Sweden.
Yeah.
As Sweden's liquor shelves run empty this week due to a ransomware attack.
They have crossed the line at this point. If you can imagine how angry the Swedes are that they can't get liquor, basically, because what happened is a ransomware attack impacted the distributors and logistics stuff. And that kind of caused a problem now of being able to get some stuff out there. These little side things. Hey, what's up, man? What's happening, brother?
Say hello, John Querick. Hello.
Okay. You got the mini me there. Oh, how cute. How cute.
It's my show.
Yeah. He's about to take it over. Probably a better host anyways. This is one of those things where we don't always think about the terrible ramifications of things such as ransomware attacks. But wow, I think this is going to make some of them upset. What do you think?
Yeah. Most likely. So, you know, it's, I suppose, no industry is immune. When we say no industry vertical, no size of company is immune, then, you know, they really aren't.
Suddenly you're distracted. You can't.
I know. I feel like that guy that was on the BBC once, but he like shoved his kids away and then his wife jumped in and dragged them out. So I didn't want to be that guy that shoves my kid away just because I'm on a extremely serious podcast.
Extremely serious podcast.
Yeah.
To remind the viewers and listeners out there, our podcast tagline is timely topics poorly presented, and here we go.
Yes.
Right, James. Yeah, the backup host. Now, I don't know if you remember, but back a while ago, I think I replaced you with a horse's backside for an episode, and it was a much better episode than usual.
Okay, so.
And on that note,
there is a flaw, and I say a flaw, making air quotes,
Yeah.
In a Chinese keyboard apps leaving 750 million users open to snooping.
Millions for Xiaomi, Samsung.
Huawei is okay.
No, Huawei hasn't been identified yet. Oh my God. You know, okay, so I'm going to sound like an old man again here, but why do our keyboards need applications, right? Why do refrigerators need to be on the internet?
These are the keyboard apps on your phone, I think. It's like the app that when you type a text message. I know you only use voice dictation, but...
Oh, on your phone. I thought this was like keyboards.
No, it says like many Chinese keyboard apps from major handset manufacturers can leak.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I don't mean to voice the text.
You show up ill-prepared. You don't even read the stories. You don't even understand the stories. This is ridiculous.
I read the headline. What else do I need to see, man?
Why I do this show with you. You're probably sitting there like, you know, 5 minutes before this goes live. You're like...
Don't even go there, man. You rolled in 3 minutes before.
At least I was prepared. Okay.
Okay.
So, the city...
This is a good one.
The city of Leicester, as my American friends would call it, Leicester.
Leicester. Because you need all those extra letters in there.
You do. I think we took, like, English is really, like, British English is a simple language. It's beautiful. But I think they met the French and they saw how they put all these unnecessary letters into a word and then pronounce it completely differently. And they said, just hold my cup of tea. Here's Leicester. Here's Worcestershire. Dude,
how many more letters can the French put in I surrender?
I don't know. Oh, wow.
Do you
know this person, Eric?
Yeah, I do. This could be my wife, who I just celebrated a 26-year anniversary with yesterday.
Wow.
It's fantastic. She's put up with me that long. We are
sorry to hear that, Jennifer.
Okay, so Leicester Street lights. Let's talk about that here. Yeah. Now, Leicester is one of those places where I think when I mention Leicester, all you Brits kind of put your nose up. You're like, ew, that place, right?
It's kind of like that. It's well, okay, not all Brits. It's because I live in London. Anything outside of the M25 is like meh, especially if it's up north that way. If I have to go up the M1, then it's like meh. So Leicester, Birmingham, Manchester, Bradford, heaven forbid you ever have to go to Bradford, Liverpool.
Anything but London, huh?
Anything but London, actually.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I do like it when we cross over the border into Scotland. Scotland is absolutely gorgeous, so I cannot knock that.
You just can't understand what they're saying.
No, I can't.
Well, we were in London, and some guy asked directions, and he was clearly Scottish. And I looked at Javad. I was like, do you have any idea what he just said? And he's like, I think I do. You sent him somewhere. I don't know where the hell you sent him, but I'm reasonably sure I didn't understand a word he said, but you caught some of it at least, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay,
I'm semi-bilingual, but okay. Back to...
Oh, Lord have mercy. Okay, so Leicester had a cyber attack that left the streetlights on day and night. What happened here? What?
Such a waste.
Did you read the story?
I did, yes. Okay. A city council spokesperson said, we are aware of a number of streetlights that are staying on during the day. Honestly, what kind of spokesperson is that? I mean, we're spokesperson for people, for a company. And, you know, I can just imagine, say like you work in cybersecurity, your company gets hacked, and you say, we're aware that all of our servers now belong to them. So it's just like, you know. And no,
this is media training. Yeah, this is media training, Javad, where you say words that mean nothing. We're aware of some streetlights that stay on during the day. Next question. Right?
Yeah.
That's how that works.
The default is that the lights stay on to ensure roads are not left completely unlit and become a safety concern. So I get that. That's like a fail open sort of system. So if everything fails, just keep them on so that,
yeah,
you know, it stays good. But, you know, there's, you know, apparently it's ransomware. Apparently it's being looked into, and they're working with the Leicestershire Police and the NCSE to investigate it.
You know, we see ransomware hitting governments all the time, man. You know, we had it happen locally here up where our property is, actually was hit by ransomware, took down the permitting office and some stuff like that. It's, man, they really seem to target that stuff. But I don't think they left the lights on.
No, they probably didn't leave the lights on. And your head where the lights are on, but nobody's home.
Oh, wow.
That womp womp. Anyway, that was something his daughter said that I should say. Eric's daughter said you need to roast him and say womp womp at the end of it. I don't know exactly what it means. I'm hoping it means something like, haha. But if it means something really rude in millennial language, then I do apologize. Anyway, oh, yes, and Jen has confirmed. Wamp, wamp. Is it wamp, wamp or womp, womp? I have no idea. Anyway, enough of that. We'll see you again next week, folks. Have a good one. Stay secure, my friends.